Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
God speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And of course, Jesus immediately begins his ministry in the wilderness by dealing with the devil and taking the word and defeating the devil in his personal life, praise God. And so we see this sign. And so we see this, all this going on. But look in chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's see what they do with John. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee." They tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. And now they're trying to kill his messenger. They put John in prison for preaching the truth. Why? What did Jesus say in Matthew 23? "You missed your time because you were not willing to submit. You wanted to do your own thing, live your own life, do your own way. You didn't want to submit to the will of God. You didn't want me to be your king. You wanted the perks. You wanted to be known as Abraham's seed. You wanted to walk in the blessings. You wanted to walk in the inheritance. But you certainly rejected the king that was over all the inheritance." And if this isn't enough, in Matthew, the 14th chapter, you know what they do with John? They behead him because of a drunken party at the king's house. So they not only put the messenger in jail, they kill the messenger. Why? Because they're not willing and rejecting the signs of the coming of the Lord. Now, let's look over here in Matthew chapter 21. Let's see something here, praise God. Let's see what's going on. Because, see, Jesus said they rejected him. We don't want to reject him. Because the apostle writing in Hebrews 9 says we need to eagerly be waiting for him and looking for him. Matthew chapter 21, in verse 4, the Bible says, of course, verses 1 through 4 is Jesus sending the disciples, getting the donkey and everything for him to ride. "And all this was done that might be spoke, that it would fulfill that which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, and the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their clothes on them and set Jesus upon them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" I mean, Jesus is presenting himself, fulfilling what Isaiah said through the triumphant entry. We call this Palm Sunday. And here comes Jesus, and the whole city is going around saying, "Who is this?" Why are they running around saying, "Who is this?" Because the scribes and the Pharisees, the ministers of the law, had ceased to preach the gospel to them. They weren't teaching them about the coming Messiah. They weren't teaching them about holiness and about living for God and living ready for God. They didn't preach the word. In fact, Jesus in the 24th chapter says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You will not enter into the kingdom of God, and you hinder others from entering into it." The people weren't ready because nobody was preaching the truth to them. They were preaching a bunch of salve and a bunch of honey and a bunch of sweetness to them so that they could feel good about themselves. Bunch of self-helps and you can do all things. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Self-helps gospel without the cross is just another religious form of saying to you, you don't need Jesus. There is no self-help without the cross. Unless you're willing to put your life on that cross and bear your cross and allow yourself to be crucified to the flesh so you can live under Christ, your life cannot be changed. And they aren't preaching. The people are saying, "Who is this? What's going on here?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." When Jesus went into the temple of God, he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who had doves or sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, look at this. Jesus comes in. The first act he does, he cleans up the church. He said, church is not about money. It's not about you having prestige. It's not about you having power. It's not about you living your own life. It's not about you being successful in your adventures. The church is about prayer and righteousness and holiness and lives change and commitment to God and sacrifice to God and surrendering your lives to God. And Jesus preaches the truth to them, and the sick and the hurting come, and the blind and the lame and the halt are healed and delivered and set free. Why? Because Jesus runs the perversion out of the church and brings holiness into it. Do you understand then the hour we're living? This is just moments before Jesus goes on the cross. He's about to fulfill the old covenant. He's about to ascend into heaven. And right here before he's about to do the greatest act of mercy, compassion, and love that God has ever released to humanity, what does he do? He cleans out the temple so people that are hurting can be healed. This has to be a church where holiness and righteousness prevail, and the sick and the hurting come and get their lives changed, not because we just hug them and love them, but because we tell them the truth that Jesus is the answer, and they change their lives through the power of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Come on, you have to receive that. That's God's will, that we grasp who we are in Christ, that we surrender our lives. Notice all of this. The wise men come and say, we've come to present our gifts to him, not receive gifts from Jesus, but to give him our gifts. John stands up and says, you need to repent, change your mind, your actions, your words, your life, your everything, and surrender to Christ and surrender to God, because he's coming to set you free. Now, Jesus comes himself. He's the third witness that he's given them. Here I am, riding in, fulfilling what Isaiah prophesied that I would do. And the people are wondering. Then he goes into the temple and does exactly what he said he would do. And he calls it my house, telling you that he's Lord over that house. And he cleans up his house. And he begins to help people and minister to people and set them free. And then you begin to look down here and you begin to see what the religious folks do. Verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things. Everybody say wonderful things. Ooh, glory, wonderful things. They were so happy they repented and got saved too. No. When they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Man, they just got mad. Just got upset. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? God has perfected praise. Hallelujah. But they rejected him. The Bible says they went out immediately and began to plot on how they could kill him. Why? Because they weren't willing to receive God's plan for their life. They had their own plan. They had their own agenda. They had their own lives. They had their own daily activities. They wanted God's blessing. They wanted God's inheritance. They wanted to be known as the people of God, but they didn't want God. And folks, we have to be cautious in the hour that we're living. They missed it because they rejected the things of God. But what does God say to us through the apostle writing to the Hebrews? Let's read it again. Verse 28 of Hebrews 9, the Amplified. Even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and to bear the burden of sins of the many, once and once for all, will appear a second time. He is coming again, folks. We're either going to be like this group was and miss it, or we're going to be a group that is looking for him and is ready. Look what he says. He says, once again, even so Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear his burden, the sins of many once and for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin nor deal with sin, but to bring full salvation to those who are eagerly, constantly and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Ooh, hallelujah. It's time we stir ourselves up and start looking for Jesus. Amen. If we're going to look for Jesus, it's going to change the way we live. Amen. Those people didn't change the way they lived because they didn't want to see Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. But I want you to see something. Look in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus, the second chapter, and verse 11. Listen to what Paul writing to Titus, a young pastor. Listen to what he says. Verse 11. For the grace of God. Everybody say the grace of God. You know, we hear a lot of teaching today on grace, and it's the most perverted junk that you could hear. Because they teach that if you live by grace, you can sin because God already is taking care of it anyway. They preach, if you live by grace, you can drink all the booze you want to drink because God's already forgiven it anyway. They preach today you don't have to go to church because you're under grace and you can do that anyway. That's lies out of hell. That's perverting the gospel of grace. God did not give us grace so we could live an ungodly life, just like he didn't call them the seed of Abraham so they could live an ungodly life and reject Jesus. He gave us grace so we could be saved and live holy lives for the Lord. Amen? Listen to what he says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. We'll wonder what grace really teaches. See, not what some of these hyper-grace teachers want to say about it, but what does grace really teach us? This is what he says. It says, teaching us that denying, what? Denying something? Yeah, what's grace teach me to deny? Ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So if I'm going to really live by grace and operate in grace, not only is grace going to save me, but grace is going to change me. Grace is going to teach me to live for Jesus and how to live for Jesus. And notice this, he goes on and says, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. See, the true message of grace is this, that Christ Jesus bore your sins, died for your sake, was buried, and on the third day was raised from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of your works, so you can't boast about it, but through the gift of God's grace. And once you receive that grace that brings salvation into your life, then you allow that grace to begin to transform you. Because you see, you can't transform yourself. You can't change yourself. But you come and that grace begins to work in you, and that grace teaches you. See, everything you're being taught this morning is not just because I'm standing here and I've prayed and prepared and I've got a message for you, but you're letting the grace of God bring revelation to you and show you things and teach you things. And many of you are hearing things that I'm not even saying, because grace is teaching you areas of your life that you need to align with Christ, because grace brings us in alignment with Christ. Grace does not give us an excuse to live our own life.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link, or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.